What is going on, one and all? Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, depending upon where you find yourself watching us this fine day. My name is Andrew Jupin. This is On Screen Live. We're going to get right to it. We got a lot to get to today. We got a lot to get to today. Happy Monday after St. Patrick's Day. Let's see. We got some folks here who are going to help me do the box office numbers, talk about what we've been seeing this weekend. You know him. You love him. Let's bring in our first guy, Mr. Eric Sisko.
Oh, yes. I'm very helpful. I definitely help with all the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm here.
Crunching those numbers, dude.
Oh, yeah. Crunch them.
And joining us also today, you know him also, and you love him. Well, Steven Sadak. You love him. Yeah, you love him. You love him. Here's Steven Sadak.
Shazam. Hi, everybody. Whoa. How's it going? Little
magic
trick there.
Were you just a little boy?
I was a little boy. No, I was actually a 21-year-old man, and then I turned into a 40-year-old man, which is what happens in that movie.
Is that what happens in that movie?
That is what, because they waited too long. I mean, we'll get into all of it.
Okay, they used the original kid from the first movie, and now that kid's like way big and weird.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the move that the Harry Potter folks figured out. You get those kids, you lock them in a studio for 9 years, and you make those fucking movies.
Yeah.
In and out, dude. That is absolutely right. You know what? No, like, waiting around. You fucking make them movies. Because this kid, like, he's supposed to be, like, 17. He's got, like, a bad fucking mustache going on almost. Like, real sinister fucking shit here. But before we get into all that, of course, folks, you may not know, but we got a tour coming up.
We do.
And, right? We got to go over some dates here, including we'll leave it for last. We have a new date to announce. But first up, of course, we are going to be talking Star Trek IV.
Yeah.
The Voyage Home.
I cannot wait to talk Star Trek in the home of Star Trek.
That's right, man. We're going to be at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco. My word.
Is this the movie that establishes the San Francisco connection? We'll have to look that up.
That's interesting. I'm not sure if it's mentioned in the movies before this. Yeah. I don't think they were fucking around with it on the show, were they?
Is it on motion picture?
Yeah, maybe. I'll look that up. I have 2 months to figure that out.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it's at least definitely mentioned in motion picture because if you guys recall, Kirk totally fucking sends that Vulcan science officer to his death by being like, hey, meet me on the Enterprise at this time. Not when you were going to go, but transport when I tell you to. And that's the dude who eats shit in the
Sabacc or whatever, other Vulcan. Yeah.
Yeah. You see the lobby there.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Spork. Whoever he was.
and then just a few days later, we are going to be riding the rail south to one of our favorite places to play, man. We'll be in Los Angeles talking Twins back at the Hollywood Improv.
That's right. Look at them. They're so happy leaning up against each other. And you will be too in line for this show.
That's right. Those tickets are going fast, by the way. We always find out that Los Angeles is a place that likes to have us at a show. Yes. So, you know, maybe we get to do that again.
You want to move on those guys.
Yeah, move them ticks.
You need to get those tickets now or your life is in peril. WHMpodcast.com/tour.
That's right. And now just announcing today, the listing just went up on their website today. This is a real, real cool thing we're going to be doing over the summer. Let's see. It's June the 15th. We are going to be at the State Theater in beautiful New Brunswick, New Jersey, of course, doing a special We Love Movies live recording, which we don't do often, for one of our fave films, The Birdcage, the Mike Nichols Birdcage. This is going to be a lot of fun because this is indeed, folks, a Pride event for New Jersey Pride. We'll be there doing this show, but all the proceeds are going back to the State Theater. They do a ton of great work getting, like, you know, groups of LGBTQ youth to come to their theater, see the programs that they have going on. They do a lot of great work there. We are super thrilled to be in New Brunswick to talk about this fucking funny movie, do a WLM for once live, heaven forbid.
Well, I mean, Star Trek 4 maybe as well, but I'm very excited that, you know, this is a Pride event and this is a charity event and we are not getting anything out of this. It's going entirely to this charity, and I'm very stoked about that.
Yeah, I'm going to lose, like, train fare, which is going to be... So I'm already in the red, so that's sure. But for a great cause like this, and for a great movie, and for a great night,
Yeah, totally.
I'll drop the $9.
Yeah, you buy a train ticket and suddenly kids can have access to these facilities and do all this shit. It's worth it.
That's right.
You buy the ticket.
I'm going to buy the ticket. I'm saving up now.
But whmpodcast.com, click on tour. I think there's also like a pop-up box that'll take you to tour. There is a easy ass way to find tickets for our live shows, folks. And mm-hmm. that is our website, whmpodcast.com. So that's it, folks. That's the big update. Really cool. State Theater, New Jersey. New Brunswick is a great fucking town. Spent a lot of time in New Brunswick.
If you're like Philly adjacent, if you're coming from the city, from New York,
from
where I'm at, Jersey
Pennsylvania
City.
Hill folk, come on through.
Exactly. Oh, yes. We want the hill folk, man, for sure.
I love them.
Oh, yeah.
And I just checked. You don't have to be gay to buy a ticket. I triple checked.
Of course not.
I know. I'm just having fun.
Oh, man. So 6:15. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's been a long time since I've seen The Birdcage, too. So that'll be nice.
Same.
Totally.
Nice little rewatch there. All right, guys. We've got a lot to get to today. First up, though, we got to run the numbers. This is Highest Gross. Okay. No surprise that this keeps falling down like people in my neighborhood on St. Patrick's Day night. Quantumania. Wow. Yep.
Wow. But fifth place. That is, I mean, it's been a month or whatever, but
yeah, a little over a month.
What a poor month that has been.
Yeah, I mean, well, they promised things would shrink.
I mean, there could be no more ironic fucking movie to tank like this than a movie where the characters just keep getting smaller. Four mil. Not great. Fourth place this week in the top five. Something we'll be getting to a little bit here later in the show because a few of us saw it over the weekend. 65, ooh. Man. Ooh, yes. Yeah.
He's hanging out with dinosaurs.
Sure is. Another almost 6 mil for week two. Yeah, it's Tank Town.
65 could have been a good title for that Marlowe movie you guys liked as well. That's how old that's you'd true, want to be. Right.
That's actually true.
You have to be 65 to buy a ticket.
Yeah, that's the legal limit, minimum, I should say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So here we go. Week two for 65. And guess what, man? They didn't even gross enough to cover the fucking Super Bowl commercial they bought, which was $6.5 million.
Ish.
This business, folks. This is this business. It's all gambling.
I'm interested to hear what you two say about it. This will decide whether or not I stream this movie in about a month and a half, which I probably will.
Dude, I feel like month and a half is playing it pretty safe with that cushion.
Yeah.
now, this is an interesting thing. In third place, Creed 3 in its third week. Very weird how that sort of worked out. Beating the shit out of another $15.4 million.
Beating the shit out of Ant-Man, that's for sure. You know what I mean? And not succumbing to that Marvel whatever. This is a good thing.
It's got some staying power. Obviously, it has better word of mouth than Ant-Man.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like, Creed 3 is a movie where I'm still actively trying to get to the theater to see it. Like, I have not given up. I'm like, I'll just stream it. I do want to see it. Although I'm pissed off because I did want to see it in IMAX, and I know I slept on it. It's my own fault. They got that fucking Shazam in there now in the IMAX. Yeah, dude.
What?
Yeah.
So you get to see that 21-year-old get bigger in IMAX.
You can see all the hair follicles just right here, like really, really clear.
You can see him signing his name to get fucking insurance on a rental car. if you look really closely. number two, man, rocking and rolling. Scream 6, still doing great in its week two. 17.5 million, which is only like a 60% fall for. And for horror, I mean, that's really solid, man. So still chugging along.
It's very, very solid. Very good for the Scream franchise in general. And, you know, I pat ourselves on the back a little bit.
Yeah.
Those references to We Ate Movies in that movie is the reason it's doing well.
That's exactly it.
That's the reason.
It's the WHM difference. If you are a film producer, and I know you are watching, this is what's happening. This is what happens when you play ball with We Hate Movies.
It's magic. We got this like magic ephemeral quality that you just can't find everywhere.
No, you can't find it everywhere. That's for sure. And I mean, you know, seven. Now keep in mind, all right, 17.5 million. Second week, okay. Now we're going to get to the number one, which of course was, where are we? This guy here.
Oh, there you go.
Shazam, Fury of the Gods.
I was hoping this would not land at number one. I thought it would be really fun if it didn't.
It would have been super fun if it didn't, but I mean, it almost didn't, dude. $30.5 million for a superhero movie.
Oh, and we should say that what put it over the edge was Andrew, Chris and I saw it separately. And Chris isn't here because he was fired from the show in disgrace.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he's been sacked. He's been taken care of. And that's just how it's going to be from now on.
You'll read in the trades later this week why that happened, true, and it's going to get gross.
Hollywood Reporter's got a 2-page story exclusive coming.
You know what? I say we just break it here, dude. The reason he was fired from the show is because he predicted that this was going to be $100 million for this movie. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I can't fucking tolerate that kind of ignorance to motion picture business.
This is how much he believed this, folks. He drove to Atlantic City with all the Patreon money and put it all right on there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, you got to clean house after something like that.
You do. You just really, you can't trust someone after something like that.
I can't trust him. I can't even look at him anymore.
No, he's just not here today, and we love him.
We do. We love the guy.
He's all right.
No, he's going to be back. Don't worry.
Every time you fucking take a week off, like a human being should, these jackals jump on you, and I started it, so it's my fault.
But man, I mean, we'll talk about it more when we talk about it. But Jesus Christ, that movie. But we do have something I wanted to react to today. We haven't had a time in a couple weeks, I feel, to chat through some coming attractions.
Yeah.
But I got one that I wanted us to check out because it can go either way. I'm on the fence, but I'm curious about it. We'll talk about it in this segment that we aptly titled Trailer Segment. Now, of course, after the fucking DC fiasco, which I feel like put some fucking blame on Shazam for that too. Why not? I don't even think we watched the trailer, but you know, to blame that movie.
Fuck you, Shazam.
We're not going to put the trailer on screen anymore. We've linked to it here in our show notes, and we're just going to watch it like together, like, you know, sort of like we're doing a commentary remotely here. But this way, you know, the audio doesn't get shut down. The stream don't get shut down. But this is, new film from IFC, Paint, with Owen Wilson. It's a fake Bob Ross movie.
That's actually, it's a little too, we could just get into it where I'll save my thoughts for then.
So fellas, are you synced up there with your trailers?
I am, and I'm watching an ad right now, and then
excellent.
You gotta watch an ad before you can watch an ad.
There it is. Got it.
I have it ready to roll.
All right, cool.
Good to go.
3, 2, 1, go. Like I said, this is from our friends at IFC. Love those guys.
Oh wow.
I'm painting.
You know, if I was using an Indian paintbrush, it'd be my friend Wes Anderson.
Oh, right, I forgot.
The problem with this is it's so Bob Ross that it's distracting, and it's like, just call it the Bob Ross story and make it funny, or you can't do the full thing.
It seems like it should be broader. You know what I mean? Like, this should have Will Ferrell in it somewhere.
Dude, that's my vibe of this was like, where is Ron Burgundy?
Yes. But it seems like they're doing a dramedy thing, which is, I mean, it's interesting.
It is interesting. And it's a fascinating subject to traverse, but it's just Bob Ross.
Yeah.
And also, exactly. I mean, like the new like sexy paint host comes in. You know what I mean? Like, that's very Anchorman, right? Yes. That was Christina Applegate's character. Right.
That like didn't happen to Bob Ross. Like, Bob Ross just stayed on the air for fucking 60 years.
Yeah. I mean, so that's, if you're not making the Bob Ross story, you're just kind of making a 90-minute, like, physical, like a visual gag rather.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's like, I don't know, like, it's not a knock to the movie. We haven't seen it or anything. It's very weird. And then it's like, you know, then I have to think, well, could you not get rights? Is it like that fucking Andre 3000 Jimi Hendrix movie where they didn't have the music rights? A real Janie Jimplin situation?
That's where I was going. Yep.
Sorry, Steve.
No, that's
this, the period here is kind of fun, you know?
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's got this lo-fi indie kind of thing to it that is interesting, not sorely missed, but missed, you know what I mean?
It is like, missed. Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what they do with it. But again, it seems a weird mishmash of broad and indie all at once.
This gag that we just saw of him like driving around stealing newspapers, like if it gets really fucking wacky like that, like here's the thing, I want this more Anchorman than, let's say, the Skeleton Twins, if anybody remembers that.
I do, actually.
Yeah, I remember this.
Bill Hader, Kristen Wiig movie, which was like kind of a comedy, but way more of a dramedy on the indie side. So, I don't know. Consider me intrigued. This is written and directed by Britt McAdams, which opens from IFC. Now, my box office thing was saying that it's going to be a wide release on 4/7. So as to the definition of wide for a movie like this, it's obviously not Shazam or Scream wide, but I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Definitions for wide are very vague these days. I mean, it could be projected on my back and be called wide.
Well, yeah.
It's a wide like load.
Classic wide guy, Eric Siska, dude.
Yeah.
So we'll get into what we've been seeing on screen. Steve, so you and I saw this. Eric, you dodged it. Good for you.
Did we say we were all going to go see it? I don't think so. No. You guys just got Shazam up your. You got
literally yesterday, like we canceled some plans. Like I'm not in the mood for that, and I had the day to myself. I'm like, I guess I'll do something for the show, kind of a thing. Sure, like I didn't have anything else to do.
Yeah,
and I was like,
sure.
This is fine. I rushed to. It was like literally like a. Rush to the Alamo. I get there, and which I think is interesting for this movie. It's full of kids, and I'm sitting next to like a fucking 9-year-old kid at the Alamo.
You're drinking a 6-pack of beer, probably, right?
that was my plan. So, like, I get there, and I was like, oh, I'll pick the one all the way in the back, the seat all the way in the back, and I'm like, can I just? I went to the server. I was like, can I move down there where no one is, and I'm not sitting next to this entire family? And she's like,
yeah.
Reluctantly said yes. Then I was like, I turned into Garfield the cat.
That's awesome.
With beer and pizza.
You know, just a quick digression. The one of these Regals that are closing down near me, we're supposedly closing down. They're serving beer now. So I thought that was interesting. I didn't see that coming.
The Regal down on the Lower East Side, the Regal Essex Crossing. Steve and I saw Inisher in there, and they got a little like, it's not a great bar, but look, there's fucking beer coming out of a tap, man, that goes into a cup and then into my belly. So
that's pretty nice. Yes. Regal so, please go ahead on the
Regal
the
is getting into the tell me what you want me to fuck category. Yep.
So, we'll do anything. We'll do anything.
Yeah. And I want you to fuck a keg of beer and put it in your movie thing. That's all I want. A
tall boy for 65 is awesome.
Yeah, you can actually in the one they're toying with this in the Union Square location. You might be able to shoot up in the bathrooms.
Oh, nice. That little flavor of old New York, folks.
Steve, that was a good like 1987 Letterman joke, kind of like that's too bad.
Yeah, there we go.
I will say, man, I did not see this at an Alamo. I had a little movie day yesterday. Like I just went to the movies. Excellent throw and break. You should have done the fucking glass break effect.
I don't have it set up.
Oh, all right. I did a little triple feature and this was right in the middle of it. And, I had like these guys with me. So you better believe it was fucking munchy lunchy time. Cut to me in the previews of this. Thank God I was up in the balcony. So I wasn't around anybody. I mean, and frankly, not a lot of people showing up to this movie, so I was kind of free and clear. But, dude, it was a big box of mozzarella sticks. Just fucking
get at it.
So the movie itself, just the concessions. I'll start this just for a quick recap here, and obviously no spoilers, but I was stunned, Steve, that I didn't hate this movie as much. Like, I thought I was going to hate it. I didn't hate it. It's not good, but I didn't hate it.
Did you guys see the first one?
No. Yeah. I turned the first one off because I was just not in the mood for it, which was kind of better one. Was what
this first one's probably better, right? Or is it not?
Here's the thing. I will say, I mean, I did see all of the first one. I couldn't tell you a lick about it. I think I fell asleep towards the end.
Sure.
Chris Cabin and I went and saw that one in theaters, and
some
guy came over like 20 minutes into the movie and demanded we move because we were in his seat.
Oh, wow.
Jesus, dude.
Which did not help your feelings about a science scene.
Well, the thing is, I think it was already Shazam at that point, and you're asking me to move.
Dude, yeah, if he's the superhero by the time you're finding the seats, fuck you, assholes. Sit someplace else.
Yeah.
I also shouldn't be seating you. That's on the theater.
I kind of didn't turn it off in malice. The first one, it was like, it was the middle of the pandemic watch, and I was like, am I in the mood for this? And I absolutely wasn't. So that was just, it had nothing to do with the movie at all.
Sure. I think just the kind of the biggest difference is this movie, Fury of the Gods, is in a lot of ways not as family friendly, which perked me back up because, like, I really thought there was just, it was too much kid shit in that first movie. But the weird thing about this movie is, like, it doesn't mesh the two together well. So it's like baby shit and then like a fucking horrendous murder. Baby shit. Really scary monsters. So like it's a weird vibe that the movie is putting out.
That's interesting. We need more of that, actually.
Yeah. I just like the movie because because Zachary Levi, I think that character it's an embarrassing performance for him at this point.
Yep.
Like, he's like, I'm just a little kid and oh man, gee willikers. And then they cut to this other actor who's not doing that at all. And I'm like, well, why are you talking like that? You're the same guy, right?
That's a great point.
Yep. It was so disparate during this movie that I was, I mean, and again, you know, the whole day, but I was like, so wait, man, when Billy Batson becomes Captain Marvel, that's like a different person inside of him, I guess, because they're so fucking different. How did the fucking crew not be like, hey, one of you has to come closer to the other one?
Exactly. And it's just, I think that, like, a lot of, there's way too many Shazams. There's six of them. You need to pare that down to three. You know what I mean? And I know it's about diversity, and I think that's a great idea. But I didn't see the last movie. The move is just, you have the top three, your Billy Batson, your Freddie Freeman, and Mary Marvel. Diversify one to three of those. All three can be, you know what I mean? And like, then you don't need six. And then, like, actually, these characters can have arcs. And I mean, I think the Freddie Freeman arc was pretty... What I liked about this movie, why it was a 2-star as opposed to one and 1.5, like Black Adam and Ant-Man were...
Sure.
The story's really clean. It's really... like, it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And characters go through progressions. Like, I want this thing. And then at the end, he gets it. And like, that's kind of great. And in a small world of... in an incredibly low bar of superhero movies where we're at, like, the idea that people have wants and desires and those are fulfilled within a 2.5-hour place is kind of where I'm at with superhero movies. Like, thank you for giving me that, at least.
Totally. Like, the little kid with the crutch just wants confidence.
Yes.
And by the end of the movie, he has it.
Yes.
And he's fucking going to go on to date the girl from West Side Story. Like, ain't that grand?
But does Shazam in this sequel, does he battle the most real danger in the world, that according to Zachary Levi, which is Pfizer? does he take down the
there's a bunch of like cool Ray Harryhausen monsters at one point, which, like, then again, you know, just when the movie was losing me, I was like, kind of cool.
Pfizer made those monsters in a laboratory, I think, according to Shazam's Twitter. And right here, looking at it on the screen.
I think, and like, you know, like, it's got a Mount Rushmore, which makes it kind of an episode. It's a Mount Rushmore of the worst product placement I've ever seen in a, like, the most egregious product placement. We show the product, we use the product to dispatch a villain, and then we say the tagline for the product twice.
Dude, and that's one bad.
It's Skittles, and she says, taste the rainbow, and then she says, taste the rainbow, motherfucker, but it's cut off by whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, dude, I realized too, because the other thing about that first Shazam, it's only like a family of Shazams kind of toward the end of the movie. Like, that's the Deus Ex, oh fuck, like, Zachary Levi needs help, now you're all Shazams. Go fucking defeat Mark Strong, I think. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But this movie, like, they're all over the fucking place, which really, like, It's just too much. It waters it down. I kind of lost where I was going with that, but no, like, it's just, it's way too much of it.
And like, you know, in the first scene when they're all doing Shazam stuff, I'm like, there's no differentiation between any of these kids. And then like, you know, later on, like the Asian kid totally disappears. You have the other kid who winds up being gay in a really nice little scene, but he has nothing to do. Like Mary Marvel has nothing to do. The little girl has little, does the product placement, and that is it. You know
the
what I mean?
Like, the little girl, that's what I was going to harp on. It is, so again, the point I was making was like, they're not, the adult version, like all the Shazams at the end of that first movie, like they're not long for the movie. In this movie, especially like the first two acts, we are Shazamming hard. And like that woman that has to act like a little girl, but she's like this gorgeous adult. Like it's a weird, she kind of just like comes off like she's high the whole time. Cause she's like trying to play it with this like sense of like, you know, childish wonder, you know, but it's like, oh, Skittles. And it's fucking, it is so unintentionally fucking hilarious. Like, well,
I mean, an improv note I got really early on from Anthony Tamanik was he stopped a scene. Somebody else was doing it. Someone was playing a little kid. And he's like, listen, everybody, anytime you as an adult play a little kid, it's fucking creepy. And that stuck with me always. And it goes for Zachary Levi. It goes for that character specifically.
Yep.
What do you call it there? Adam, what's his name?
Brody.
Adam Brody. Is it doing it that much, which is kind of good? He's just being like kind of a teen, like because, oh, I think that I'm finally hot kind of a dude.
Because,
you know?
And this is a great note from Levi and other kid, Adam Brody and the kid playing young little kid, whatever his name is, those performances are way closer together because Adam Brody is an actor who has like a thing. Like it's not a gimmick. He just has a certain personality that's easily mimicked. And the direction for the kid is kind of try to do an impression of Adam.
Yes.
And it fucking works. It's way better. And meanwhile, again, the star of your movie, the bubblegum chewing motherfucker that was the only one on that first poster, is just so far off from what the other kid is doing.
He's doing baby Deadpool, and it's gross. It's gross to watch a hulking man be baby Deadpool. Oh, gee willikers. Here's, is it like breaking the third wall, talking about the event. We're talking about this movie too much, but
was Helen Mirren a baby too? Or
no, Helen Mirren's okay. She's debasing herself for sure.
Sure, but I, you know, not any more or less than she does in Hobbs and Shaw or those fat. I mean, it's just like, it's Helen Mirren showing up in a place that feels like Helen Mirren shouldn't dare walk.
I mean, and Lucy Liu goes full on Rita Repulsa in this movie, which you never want to do.
But at the same time, man, she's in like a Xena costume riding that dragon, and maybe it was the cannabis talking. But again, I was like, that's working. It's like a decently rendered dragon too. Yeah. Like, yeah, that worked.
Here's the thing, and I know Chris hated this more than we did, which is a good thing. I'm still earmarking this. It's in like, it's in pencil for next year. It's in pencil for next year.
Yeah, big time. Another one here that Eric, we'll get you into the conversation here. Let's move on. Shazam, whatever. We may see you in January. 65, you and I both saw. This was this was my third of the triple feature.
So it's a movie. It's a very okay movie. What I like about it and why I think it's worth supporting is it's a simple genre movie, just totally nuts and bolts, you know, just a little simple story, 93 minutes long about a guy fighting dinosaurs.
Yep.
So I think it's serviceable, but I don't think it's good, but I think it's a good enough time, if that makes sense.
And that's kind of how I feel about it too. Like, get a bunch of buds together and go see it. You know, that would be fun in the theater. I mean, I think, Steve, if you're home looking for that stream in a couple weeks, like you and Jen would have fun with it. Like, get a couple cocktails.
Sure.
Know that it's going to be stupid.
Oh, yeah. It's stupid.
You know, but and at the same time, it's also cool seeing Adam Driver be in something so dumb. I don't know. It's just like simple, you know, it seems like, you know, again, much like Shazam Fury of the Gods, a place where Helen Mirren dare not walk. Adam Driver, I know Star Wars, but like, this ain't Star Wars, you know, and this ain't Noah Baumbach. So it's like a weird, it's weird seeing him in this.
It's like a canon movie somehow got out of the 80s, but is now higher budget and like sexless, but it's got that weird vibe of here's a big star doing a dumb, fast, shitty movie. I kind of like that.
Here's a question for the two of you. On a scale of 1 to 10, what are we talking dino violence wise? Because that's really going to sway whether or not I watch this movie.
You know, it could have been more. Honestly, it was. Mm. I would rate it at like 4.5, maybe. Mm.
I'd go higher than that. I mean, not a ton, maybe like a 6. The beef is, I had a couple of like, it doesn't matter because again, Eric, I mean, that is the best way to describe this. It's a canon movie that crawled its way out of the 80s and is now in theaters, which is great. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, we need more of these. So but go see it.
Exactly. Go see it as the fucking asteroid comes down and destroys box office revenue.
But remember, we told you it's not that. It's whatever. But go see it, please.
Just be rude in the theater. Here's something. I mean, it was an afternoon in its second weekend at a big multiplex in Manhattan that had a lot of other stuff playing. My theater was kind of full for 65. Really?
That's awesome. Yeah. I saw it at a sort of a big multiplex. There was lines of people for the concessions. I was like, holy shit, okay, there might be people at this movie. Zero people saw it with me. It was me and my wife. We watched 65 all by ourselves.
Wow, private screening. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's always my dream to have that happen and somebody fucks it up. You know what's funny? I'm so lucky.
I've got the hot streak. I've seen like, I think like the last 3 or 4 movies I've seen in theaters has been literally no one else but me.
Whoa.
Like Marvel and like that, like no one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one.
Oh, I like that, man. The biggest problems with the movie are, well, the biggest problem is the girl that he's sidled with for the movie is like, and this isn't a spoiler. They're Gleep Glops, by the way.
Yeah.
I think that's in the trailer or something. But like, he's basically like a bus driver transporting a bunch of fucking frozen in animation people to their next destination or some shit. And they hit an asteroid and crash. So like, here's this girl and she's some other Gleep Glop or something. And they don't speak the same language. And he's like, oh no, the translator's broken. And then like,
even though I'm speaking English and also saying stuff in the metric system, I thought that was fun too.
Oh yes, dude. That was another thing I was going to bring up. There's one point where it's like, where you need to go to finish the movie is 15 kilometers away. And I was like, aren't you a fucking alien? What is that?
We gotta traverse these kilometers. Oh, and then she's speaking like, maybe, I don't know. Is that a real, if English is a real language, why not have this girl's language be real? Is it? Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know, but the thing that's annoying is he's like, well, I guess we're going to have to find some way to communicate. And like so much of this movie is them not talking to each other, misunderstandings or like a cute scene where like she teaches him a word in her language and then he understands it in his. And I'm like, I bought a ticket for fucking Dinomania. Yeah. And I don't. But also, it like, because they can't, they can't talk to each other, so it's just not interesting.
Yeah.
You're literally waiting around for the dino attacks because they can't communicate, so they're not really having scenes together. That's just, it's a big fucking mistake. And this girl looks like she's a good enough actor. I mean, give her some actual dialogue. Huge mistake. And then also, like, for 97 minutes, we do take a little bit of time getting to those dinosaurs, man. And I was getting a little antsy.
Yes,
but
yes, I agree with you. Yeah, we took there could have been a little more dino action.
Yeah, totally.
Andrew, you said it was he's a bus driver for a bunch of people that's stuck in suspended animation. Is he a bus driver on the Upper West Side by any chance?
I like that. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. I think you have to be 65 to enter the Upper West Side.
Well, I'll say really quickly, because we got to start wrapping up in a little bit anyway, but I will say really quickly, speaking of the Upper West Side, it is where I spent my entire day yesterday, including what I started my morning with, just me and DeFoe.
I haven't seen a thing about this movie, or maybe I forgot about it. So what is this movie, Andrew?
I've only seen the poster, which looks like he's walking on water. Oh, I'm back to my Jesus day.
Oh, it's Jesus part two. We're making all this wine now.
No, it's a movie in limited release. So it's just, you know, it's probably a New York, LA and like big market situation. Cause I think it was on, what is the notes here? Check the show notes. So just over 350 screens. So not like a strict New York, LA, but just a limited release. And it is a fucking one-hander, man. Defoe is the only person really in this movie. And it's about, he's like a, high-end like art thief guy. Ooh. And he gets like helicopter dropped into like the you know roof deck of this swank ass apartment where he is to do like an in and out, steal these three paintings and you know get back out to the chopper. And what happens is the security system in this apartment like malfunctions. There's like a hacker on the other end. It's like the only person he really communicates with in the movie, like at the beginning. And he's like, oh no, I'm getting locked out, blah, blah, blah. And Defoe gets locked down inside this apartment.
Ooh.
That because it's got so much like art in it and whatever, it's like a total high stakes prison lockdown. So like he can't get out of this apartment. And the owner is like on the other side of the world doing business on a tour or something. Not coming back anytime soon.
That's cool.
Yeah. Was the owner LeBron James like in that House Party movie? Is that what's going
on? Oh, no, I'm stealing LeBron's priceless art.
Uh-oh. Hey, LeBron, you got to get some security, man. This is the third house of yours getting burgled.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even know that that part of the new House Party movie. How, did you see that?
No, I didn't see it.
But, it's on HBO Max, and I've kind of like been dancing around it.
Same, but, because yeah. I'm curious because I really like the original movie.
Yes.
There's no way it can live up to it, of course.
No, but. No, I'm sure not.
Is Inside like a thriller? Is it like, is it good?
So, I mean, so I'll just bring up the poster again really quickly. Like, here's why it's real good. You see Defoe like just go fucking crazy. Like it's an incredible performance.
Okay.
Like it starts off as a thriller and not to give too much away, but like it's just a descent into madness with Willem Dafoe at the helm.
I like this. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. That's the movie.
I'm definitely watching this at some point.
Yeah.
Does he do the risky business slide down the hallway in his underwear?
There. Well, it's not.
Full hog.
No full hog, but we got, there is a pop music thing. I'm not going to spoil it. It's fucking hilarious. So there is kind of that Steve, but not with take those old records off the shelf or anything like that. But it's that Defoe defecation. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to take a shit in this apartment.
Defecal like, matter.
Dude, it is a wild, wild ride for Defoe. And you know, it's like an hour and 43 minutes. It could have maybe been 90, but I will give it that cushion because of the descent into madness requires a little bit of time for some other pretty cool visuals and whatnot. So if I don't know if Focus plans on expanding this at any point. You know. But if you see this movie out and about at a theater, this is the kind of weird shit you want to support at theaters or, you know, stream it if it comes up soon. Wild ass Defoe performance.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was our week at the movies, folks. A lot of good stuff. I don't know. We want to support going to the cinemas, even if it's Bad Dinosaurs Bob Ross paint movies.
Absolutely. We also want to support going to the comedy clubs, folks. Let's have a laugh.
That's right, dude. That is right here. 5/18, we're going to be at Cobb's Comedy Club. Very, very gorgeous, historic venue in the great city of San Francisco. Talking Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. That's another Nimoy direct.
Dudes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You can do it.
I can do it.
Can you not do it, dude?
No, not really. Well, there
you
sort
go.
Of.
No, you got it. You got it.
You're literally doing it.
But
yeah, little, I mean, here's the fingers are a little crooked, you know.
It's a little crooked.
That's actually a curse in my language. Fuck you too. Wow. I'll have to tell my dead grandmother about that slur.
Two in the pink and one in the anyway.
No, I think that's just like Vulcans can suffer from osteoporosis too.
Are you getting older as a Vulcan? Has your can you not live long and prosper the same anymore?
Oh, man. And we are going to be searching for peace and long life in Los Angeles on 522.
Yeah.
We're back at the historic Hollywood Improv. Love that fucking club, man. Talking Twins, Arnold, Danny DeVito, you know, I mean, you just know. Eric's going to be fucking filthy.
Of course, because it's another, this is another classic movie where it's just like, Danny, I cannot believe our comes are together and we are twins. Like, what happened?
That movie goes, it's been a really long time, but it goes in really weird directions where I think that there's like genetic engineering going on nice. Arnold might even be a super soldier. I think. Me I'm wrong.
Oh, no.
I
don't know, man. Mangala made me in a lab down in Brazil.
Oh, no. I don't remember that, Steve, but it's entirely on the table, man. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will say that's it's on the table because Danny DeVito also has like a scumbag ponytail in the movie, so anything is possible. Yes. And then 6:15, we just announced this today, June the 15th. We're participating in a New Jersey Pride event. It's going to be fucking awesome at the State Theater, New Jersey. We're going to be doing a live taping of We Love Movies, all about Mike Nichols, The Birdcage. This will also be, if I'm not mistaken, our return into talking about Robin Williams movies.
Yes, it will be, actually. Yeah, that's a good point. And it's also completely for charity. So all the money is going to go to the New Jersey Pride organization or whatever it is.
It's a theater. It's just the theater.
To the theater who does do programs for LGBTQ youth.
And that's there's never been a better time in this rotten country's history to support LGBTQ youth.
Absolutely.
With all that's these fucking monsters attacking them left and right.
That is right. So this is going to be a lot of fucking fun. You know, like they approached us to do this and it was like trying to figure out the movie. And it's like, let's just do a We Love Movies, man. Totally. Let's do a fucking fun movie. Let's have some fun at the theater. That's going to be great talking about that movie. Been a long time. So all of that, of course, over at WHMpodcast.com. I'm trying to find my banners here. Whoops. There we go. There it is. WHMpodcast.com/tour. Because I'm just going to say it anyway, but I had to find that graphic scroll.
It's a nice looking graphic scroll.
Oh, thanks, man.
And if you're listening on audio, you're missing out on the graphic scroll. Go to youtube.com/WeHateMovies and click live to see all the assortment of on-screen lives we've been doing lately.
That's right. Big week here on the show. As always, WHM land filled with stuff. We had so much stuff. We had to kick off the content week yesterday. We dropped the John Wickmentary, sinkable commentary, improvised commentary, of course, all about that first great Chad Stahelski movie, John Wick.
A lot of Defoe talk, a lot of
Speaking Reddick of Defoe.
Before he passed away.
That's right.
Yes, he is in the movie. Recorded
it. Yes, he is in the movie. We sing his praises.
Of course we do. Yeah. Well, why would you not? We literally recorded that the night before everybody found out that he passed away. So shit fucking timing there, but he's great in those movies. He was great in everything that he touched. You don't want to miss that commentary. That's on Patreon, of course, patreon.com/WeHateMovies. But Tuesday on our free feed, the main feed, the show rolls on. Listener Request Month continues with, I'm going to leave here and go edit this for the rest of the day. Hard Rain. We had a lot of fun talking about this one. Big bounce back from from fucking Equilibrium, man. I was delighted to talk about Hard Rain.
It's a fun wet time, folks.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And real mean Morgan Freeman, which I enjoy to watch.
Yeah, real mean bastard Morgan Freeman, absolutely. And then back over on Patreon, we're in the thick of it now, folks. It'll be week 4. The Mandalorian Half Hours recap of The Mandalorian Season 3. We'll see what's going on that show.
Mm-hmm. Who knows how much Mando is going to be in this week? Maybe.
Well, there it's about half over, so we'll see.
That's right. And then Friday, we're going to round it out with the patron-requested episode of our cartoon recap show, Animation Damnation, all about a real dog. Ugly American.
It's okay to like the cartoon, folks, but
hey, sure is.
If you want to hear us take the piss and shit out of it, scoop its asshole out, patreon.com/WeHateMovies.
There it is.
Apologies in advance to ugly heads, but yeah, it gets pretty mean.
Yeah, but that is going to do it for On Screen Live this week, folks. As always, be sure to like this video, subscribe to the We Hate Movies YouTube channel, set them notifications so you don't miss a second of live content and other posted videos that we do here every week, all throughout the week. New stuff goes up all the time, so you don't want to miss that. But yeah, that's going to do it. Anything else, folks? Anything else on your mind, Steve?
No, you know, Chris? We love Chris Cabin. I just want to put that out.
We love Chris Cabin. That's
there you go.
Yes, he's currently back in 65 million BC fighting dinosaurs.
That's right.
But he'll be back soon.
That is right. all right, gang. Have a good week. We'll see you back here at noon Eastern next Monday. Until then, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Adios, folks. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum podcast.